So one of the greatest gifts, however, you can give is to open your heart to love. And that's what we're here today to celebrate. You know, to open our hearts to that unlimited, unconditional love. We're here to celebrate the gift of love, the birth of a baby, the birth of the Christ in the manger of our heart. Myrtle Fillmore, who is known as the mother of unity, and she's one of our co-founders, and she's known as the heart of unity. She once wrote in her book, How to Let God Help You, she said, nothing could be more marvelous and more unbelievable to the literal mind than the Bible account of the birth of Jesus. The star, the angels singing, the shepherds, the wise men traveling from afar, all in homage to a babe born in a manger. Fairy tales? Not at all. We believe the whole account because we know that the Christ comes as a spiritual, invisible presence. Don't you love that? A spiritual, invisible presence. And then the other co-founder, Charles Fillmore, who's more of the intellect, who tries to, you know, figure everything out, he writes in Revealing Word, our Unity's Dictionary of Metaphysical Terms, you know, what is this invisible presence? His answer is that it's love. Love is that invisible presence. And he goes on to say it's the pure essence of being that binds together the whole human family. Love is the glue that holds us and our universe together. And I think some of the scientists are now figuring that out, that they can't figure out. There's something going on that they can't see. There's an invisible presence. Well, it's love. It's that glue that holds us and the whole universe together. And so that's the message of the babe born in Bethlehem. You know, that's the heart. This is the heart of Christmas, is that, you know, we're here to open our hearts to love, to make room for God's love. And we're here to open ourselves up to the Christ born in the manger of our heart on Christmas Day. Today, and actually every day, but symbolic on Christmas Day, we really get to focus on it and feel it and experience it within our own being. Almost every tradition, every spiritual tradition on this planet has as its core teaching, guess what? Love. Every one of them says love. Love each other. They teach that. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that we love each other. And the ancient Hindu Bible, the Bhagavad Gita, says it this way. He said, the Lord resides in the hearts of all beings. I am the God of love. And so love is that important essence, that invisible presence that holds us and the universe together. And it makes us who we are. It makes us alive. And our life is all about relationships. You know, relationships at home, relationships at the church, relationships in our office, relationships on the highway. You know, it's all about relationships. And our relationships at home affects our relationships at work, right? Our relationship in the office affects our relationships in the highway. And so it's all intertwined. And we're here and called in every situation to love. To love. The quest. Unity's Book of Metaphysical Teaching says it this way. True love is expressed not to be reciprocated. We don't love to get love back. That's the wrong reason to love. We love to make us completely alive because it's who we are. And so we love to make us alive, to feel alive. And so, you know, to love is good for you. It's good for your soul to love others. True love, it expresses so that we can be completely alive. And so when you love, you're the one who benefits, not the other person. You love because it's your very essence to love. And so how do we get to the point now of loving others? I think Jesus pretty clearly gave us the formula when he answered a question asked of him in Matthew chapter 25, verse 36. The question was this: Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And Jesus answered by saying to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest in the first commandment. Then he goes on to say, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So in order to open your heart to love's presence, Jesus teaches us that the very first thing we must do is we must love God. That's number one, is to love God. I love the ancient Sufis have a saying that if you don't have a temple in your heart, you'll never find your heart in a temple. Another way of saying it is, if you don't have God in your heart, you ain't going to find God in a temple out there, because it's an inside job. You know, you'll never find God in a building. You don't come here to find God. You know, no one can find God for you. I can't do that for you. It's something that you have to do for yourself in the quiet recesses of your own being. No one can do it for you. And until you do it, there will be this sense of loneliness and there will be an aching in your heart. And so at this time of year, it's a really great time to take an inventory of how are you with God? You know, how are you doing? If there's an aching and a loneliness, then you know that you haven't spent enough time focusing on God. You haven't spent enough time allowing, you know, God's love to fill you to overflowing. And so what I invite you to do is to pause and just think about what you're thankful for. Say, thank you, God, for the beauty of this season. I mean, just look at, I love these candles, the light that we are so drawn to, the beauty in this season. You know, say, thank you, God, for my family and friends. Thank you for this church, for the music, for the, you know, the friendships I have, the love that fills my heart. Because when we're praising and giving thanks, that's when we can really feel the presence of God much more strongly. You know, the Christ is not born in us when we're criticizing, complaining, angry, frightened, wishing someone else ill. Now, the Christ is born in us when we're praising good, when we're giving thanks. You know, we feel the presence of God when we're giving thanks. And so thank you, God, for the good in my life. Thank you, God, for all the good in my life. Let's say that together. Thank you, God, for all the good in my life. That's when we begin to feel the presence of God, when we're giving thanks, when we really acknowledge all of the things to be so grateful for. And so when we're loving God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, then we can love ourselves. And so the second thing that Jesus teaches is to love yourself. Actually, what he said was love your neighbor as yourself. But you can't love your neighbor if you don't love yourself first. That's impossible. You can't give away what you don't already have. So you've got to love yourself first before you can begin to give it away. And so at this time of year, give yourself the gift of acceptance and love. Know that it's a great time of year to really feel. You've just had that experience of the Christ being born in your heart, in the manger of your heart. Feel that presence of God. Know yourself as that child of God. Let love find its home in your heart this Christmas as never before, because the truth is that it's God's pure love tapping on the door of your heart, waiting to be released. And so when we're loving God and loving ourselves, then it's really easy to love our neighbors, to love other people. And we need that love. We need to love. It's because it's who we are. And we need to reach out to other people. And when we're loving, when we give our love away, that's when we feel whole and complete. It's in the giving of our love away that we open ourselves to receiving more love. You know, because it's a cycle that we get into, which once we step into it and we begin to give away our love, that cycle cannot be broken. And the love, we give it away, and the more comes back. We give more away, the more comes back. And it just continually keeps flowing. And so if you are still looking for that last-minute perfect Christmas gift, your search is over. I've got a couple of suggestions for you. Give the gift. Hopefully soon we'll get a new roof. I wonder if that was it blown away. May Santa Claus. Yes, Dora, Santa Claus. he's going to be here in just a minute. That's a good one. I like that. Yeah, Santa's here. Santa landed. Or crashed. but give the gift of love and acceptance. Wouldn't that be a great gift to give? Not only to yourself, but to other people. Give that gift away. What is it? Are you holding? You're getting... He's had the kerosene lamp out, Jim. He's thinking, or we might lose electricity. I don't know. But give the gift of love and acceptance. Here's another one. Give the gift of time to a child or to your spouse. I know Bill would love that, right? We spent more time together. We just get so busy. Don't you get so busy? And wouldn't it be nice to just give time, give your time to a family member, to a friend? You know, see the best in yourself and then give that gift of seeing the best in others. You know, even give the gift of listening, deeply listening to another person. And just know that these are the kinds of gifts, and only these gifts are the ones that you will truly be remembered for. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "Rings and jewels are not gifts, but apologies for gifts." The only true gift is a portion of thyself. You can shop for the perfect gift, but the one thing that will be remembered is who you are and what you have given of yourself and the love that you have given away. That's what you will be remembered for. Because that's what Jesus was remembered for. To all the great spiritual leaders, Martin Luther King Jr.'s, Mother Teresa's, they're known for their love, for what they give away of themselves. So I'd like to share this beautiful story. It's by Norman Vincent Peale, called A Gift from the Heart. A young woman had come to Switzerland to live in an American home to perfect her English. In return, she was willing to act as a secretary, mind the grandchildren, do what anything that was asked of her. Her name was Ursula, and she was in her late teens. And the home was the family of Reverend Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. One of her tasks was to keep track of the Christmas presents as they arrived. Her concern was, what could she buy for the American family to show her gratitude? What Christmas present could she buy with her small allowance that would compare with all these gifts that she was recording on a daily basis? It was in the solitude of her little room a few days before Christmas that an idea came to her. It was almost as if a voice spoke clearly inside her head. "It's true," said the voice, "that many people in this city have much more than you do, but surely there are many who have far less. If you will think about this, you may find a solution to what's troubling you." Ursula thought long and hard, and finally, on Christmas Eve, she went to a department store. At last, she bought something and had it wrapped. Out on the streets of New York City, she looked helplessly around. Finally, she went up to a doorman and said in her hesitant English, "Excuse, please, can you tell me where to find a poor street?" "A poor street, miss?" said the puzzled man. "Yes, a very poor street, the poorest in the city." The doorman looked doubtful. "Well, you might try Harlem, or down in the village, or the Lower East Side, maybe. These names meant nothing to Ursula, and she continued to wander around until she came to a tall policeman. "Please," she said, "can you direct me to a very poor street in Harlem?" And the policeman looked at her and shook his head. "Harlem's no place for you, miss." Holding her package carefully, Ursula walked on, head bowed against the sharp wind. Darkness came, and Ursula was cold and discouraged. She came to an intersection, and through the traffic's roar, she heard the cheerful tinkle of a bell. On the corner opposite her, a Salvation Army man was making his traditional Christmas appeal. Ursula felt better. The Salvation Army was a part of her life in Switzerland. Surely this man could tell her what she wanted to know. She went up to him and asked, "Can you help me? I'm looking for a baby. I have here a little present for the poorest baby I can find." And she held up the package with the green ribbon and a gaily colored paper. A little dress for a small, poor baby. "Do you know of one?" "Oh, yes," he said. "Of more than one, I'm afraid. Is it far away? I could take a taxi, maybe." The Salvation Army man said, "Well, it's almost 6 o'clock. My relief will show up. If you can wait and can afford a dollar taxi ride, I'll take you to a family in my own neighborhood that needs just about everything." "And they have a small baby?" "A very small baby," he said. Ursula waited, and they got into the taxi. Ursula told her new friend about herself, how she had come to New York, what she was trying to do. He listened in silence, and the taxi driver listened, too. When they reached their destination, the driver said, "Take your time, and miss, I'll wait for you." Ursula stared at the forbidding tenement, dark, decaying, saturated with hopelessness. "They live on the third floor," the Salvation Army man said. "Shall we go up?" But Ursula shook her head. "No, they would try to thank me. And this is not from me." She pressed the package into his hand. "Take it up for me, please. Say it's from someone who has everything." The taxi carried her swiftly back to the apartment on Fifth Avenue. And as she fumbled in her purse for the fare, the driver said, "Don't worry, miss. I've been paid." He smiled at her and drove away. Ursula was up early the next day. There was excitement of Christmas morning, and soon the living room was a sea of discarded wrappings. Ursula thanked everyone for the presents she had gotten. And finally, when there was a lull, she began to explain why there seemed to be none from her. She told about going to the department store, the Salvation Army man, the taxi driver. And when she finished, there was a long silence. No one seemed to trust himself to speak. "So you see," said Ursula, "I try to do a kindness in your name. And this is my Christmas present to you." Norman Vincent Peale writes this: "We were like many Americans, so richly blessed." We were like many Americans, so richly blessed that to this child from across the sea there seemed to be nothing that could add to the material things we already had. And so she offered something of far greater value, a gift from her heart, an act of kindness carried out in our name. Strange, isn't it? Norman Vincent Peale writes, "A shy Swiss girl, alone in a great, impersonal city. You would think that nothing she could do would affect anyone. And yet, by trying to give away love, she brought the true spirit of Christmas into our lives, the spirit of selfless giving." That was Ursula's secret, and she shared it with all of us. And so this Christmas, give the greatest gift that you can give, the gift of love. For love truly is the heart of Christmas. And my wish for you is that each one of you, you have a very loved-filled and a very, very merry Christmas. God bless you.